Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Influencer Marketing Talks, a podcast brought to you by Cure Media, the leading and award-winning influencer marketing agency helping brands grow since 2014. This is your bi-weekly podcast to learn the latest on consumer behavior, innovative marketing strategies, and all things influencer marketing in right around 15 minutes. In this week's episode, we're joined by Sarah Johansson from Arla, where she works as a strategic media lead Sweden, with a rich background in digital media and influencer marketing. She plays a key role in shaping Arla's marketing strategies and sees influencer marketing as an essential part of reaching and engaging consumers effectively. Arla is an international dairy cooperative headquartered in Denmark and owned by around 8,000 farmers from Northern Europe. It's the world's largest producer of organic dairy products, operating in 146 countries. Arla's Swedish operations are known for iconic brands like Bregott, Kieso, and Arla Co. Hello, Sarah, and welcome to our podcast and this episode of Influencer Marketing Talks.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. I thought that we could start with you maybe giving yourself a brief introduction and also introducing your brand, Arla.
Sure. So my name is Sarah Johansson. I work as a strategic media lead at Arla. So I'm leading the Swedish media team at Arla, and we work with all media, so work with strategy and planning and buying for both traditional and digital media, and in close collaboration with our media agency. And I've been at Arla for 4 years now. It's a great company to work with, and it's a big company, so it's Sweden's biggest food company, and we have about 30 brands in Sweden, so it's bigger than a lot of people think, actually, and more brands than many people think. But a super exciting company to work at. Yeah.
30 brands. I feel also when you started looking at things in the store and you're like, oh, this is Arla. Oh, this is Arla. And it's just more and more things that you
realize.
It's
more than you think. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I know that you and you at Arla have been really proactive in embracing influencer marketing. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on the strategic decision to invest in this approach and kind of its importance in your media mix, because I think you do a lot of different media.
We do actually. We have a broad media mix, and we actually in-housed influencer media about 5 years ago, as we saw this as a focus area where we needed to work as a company and where we needed to communicate with our target audiences. But for us, like when targeting a younger audience, and for us a younger audience will be usually 18 to 25 or 18 to 30, we actually do see that influencer marketing is such a strong media to use. Especially, you know, we have a lot of studies now on several markets showing that the younger audience do make their purchase decisions based on products they see influencers use. And also, you know, it adds a dimension that we as a brand can't do ourselves. You know, we have an authenticity, and the influencer has a strong relationship with their followers and the audience. And also, you know, it helps us be culturally relevant, because influencers are, of course, on top of what's trending, what the audience is interested in, and, you know, what topics to put our products in to make them relevant. For us, it's mainly a younger audience. So we really do see it as an important addition to the media mix, where we can do something that will not be as authentic if we as a brand try to do it ourselves.
Yeah, and it's hard as a brand, because obviously you trust influencers more than you trust the brand, because the influencer feels like a friend.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they have a relationship with, you know, the part of the audience that are their following that we can't have as a brand, because, you know, they have a personal connection in a way that a brand, you know, can't achieve in the same way.
Yeah. And I know that you work a lot with micro-influencers. And what makes you kind of believe in the power of micro-influencers?
Yeah, we do. Actually, we try to work with a mix of size of influencers. So we see having influencers with a smaller following and together with influencers with a larger following as a very strong sort of combination, where from our perspective and what we have seen, this, if you have a smaller following, you usually have a closer relationship with your following and your followers, because you know you have the opportunity to have that, because it's less interactions than if you have like a very big following. Of course, it's going to be more difficult to have a personal connection with all of them. But with smaller influencers, we usually see that they do have a close collaboration, and that gives it this authenticity that we are looking for when working with influencers. And finding the combination of, you know, having the influencers with a larger following who can, you know, reach more people. And of course, they are more known. They have a personal brand that they've built over time, usually, together with the more sort of up and coming or micro influencers. It's a really strong combination for us. And we also do like to work with the influencers like in the beginning of their journey as an influencer, you know, start to build a relationship between us as a brand and the influencers when they are, you know, in the beginning of sort of becoming an influencer. And then, you know, we can grow together with them. We also see that as a strong reason to work with micro influencers, and to sort of, you know, they help us get our brands out there and our products out there, and maybe we can help them on the journey to grow as an influencer as well.
That's really smart. And it gives that authentic relationship as well.
Yeah, I think so too. And you see, you know, you will see our products then, you know, together with the influencer over time as well.
And also data-driven strategies. I can hear you undertone of data in all your decisions. It's obviously the focus in today's marketing landscape.
Yeah.
How have you integrated your data-driven approach into influencer marketing campaigns, and what kind of advantages can you see from working data-driven?
We have actually, like, since we in-housed influencer marketing about 5 years ago, we have, you know, had a data-driven approach, and it's both, you know, in really important for us, like in the planning and in the choosing of, you know, what influencers to work with. So looking at their audience and the data from their previous their previous posts, basically, and you know, from their channel. But for us, really important to look at the audience and who they are reaching, because of course that needs to match the audience we want to reach. But also, of course, we are constantly working on improving and finding methods for evaluating influencer marketing, improving influencer marketing, because it is still sort of, and for many, a new area that you are not used to or maybe 100% comfortable with. So it is important for us to always find those, you know, data points that prove it is working and why we're doing it, and evaluating what we're doing and if, you know, we're doing the right things. And that could be, we work with third-party solutions where we have, you know, campaign measurements done by third-party solutions. We also do like econometric studies that we do for all media. We, of course, incorporate influencer marketing in that as well, so we can see the effect of sales, on sales. And also, of course, you know, regular campaign follow-ups. That's something we, of course, do for each campaign we do with influencers, and sort of evaluating how the content is performing, both to see, you know, what influencers works best for us and our products and brands, but also to see, you know, are we doing the right things in how we are briefing the influencers and so on, you know, so we can learn and adapt and be better.
And it's also hard, as you say, like you can have a feeling for one influencer and be like, oh my God, this fits our brand so well. But then you see in the data that their followers might even not be in Sweden, or... So it's really important to have like continuous,
like that's why it's so important to have like a data-driven approach. And for us, it's, you know, we can never choose an influencer based on what we like, because to be honest, most people working in the marketing department at Arla are not the audience we're trying to reach with influencers. I mean, some of us are a little bit, but you know, if we're trying to reach 18, 20 year olds, they're not going to follow probably the same influencers that we are interested in and are following. So I think that's super important to remember. And that's also what's so great, that you can actually get so much information about the audience of each influencer and see, you know, what countries they are in, what age groups, what genders, and so on.
And I think that's a really important point, because we also see a lot of brands we work with that come to us and like, we want to work with this influencer. And then when you look at the data, it's like, it's not going to give you the results you want. No. So I think it's also hard for brands, but you had a very good approach to it, to kind of let the data speak for itself and drop that gut feeling of what you want yourself, but more let the data speak.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. And I think that for us, it's of course, we have influencer specialists in the team. So that helps, of course, because they can be sort of the gatekeepers in making sure and you know, sort of pushing back a bit if we see that, you know, we have a wish to work with someone. But, you know, we always remind the rest of the marketing organization to remember to think in this way and look at the data and not personal preferences, because that's in the end, that's not what's going to give you the best campaign.
No.
And of course, to have influencer partners that also, you know, you have a close collaboration, so they can also push back a bit if they see you are wrong.
And I feel like especially now that you're scaling up and working more with influencers, it becomes challenging when you have these huge volumes, especially if you want to work data driven and really see that every campaign and influencer is working. But what motivated you at Arla to scale up your influencer marketing efforts, and how do you manage then the complexity that is involved in that much volume?
Yeah, I think like, first of all, of course, it's we see good results from it. And that's why we have continued to work with this area. And I think also for us, having worked over time consistently with our brands, with influencer marketing, we actually see that the results improve when we work with it over time and consistently. So, you know, probably because you get used to seeing our products in these influencers' feed and, you know, in the content they create. But we do see that sticking with it and daring to be consistent over time and over years actually helps us achieve better and better results over time as well. And of course, that's the sort of base for continuing to invest in it, is that you see the results. But I think you really need to, like, if you're in the beginning of working with influencer marketing, you have to dare to do it properly and do it a bit over time to actually see the results, because you might not see the great results the first campaign, but you know, if you continue to work over time, the results will follow, as long as you have a data-driven approach and, you know, choose the right influencers, of course. But also, like, to be able to work, like I said, we have a lot of brands at Arla, and there are a lot of brands activating with influencer marketing. And it is important for us also to have a good influencer partner with a good platform that's easy to work with, where we can handle all the sort of day-to-day work with the campaigns. So that's also something that's been really important for us. Like, even if we have influencer specialists in the team, there are still too many brands for us to be able to do all the campaigns and all the steps of the campaigns without help from an influencer partner. So that's also been important in sort of growing the field within Arla.
Yeah. And you spoke a little bit about this now, the positive outcomes of working with influencer marketing. But what other unique advantages do you believe influencer marketing offers Arla, and especially in like reaching and engaging with your target audience?
I think, like, we talked about it a little bit before, but like, in reaching especially like the younger part of the audience, like, we have very broad audiences as Arla. Basically, it's, you know, when we're marketing, it's for many brands, everyone above 18, and for some brands it's, you know, somewhere within that range. So for us, it's super important to work with influencers when we're targeting the younger part of the target audience, so 18-25, 18-30. And part of that is, of course, the relationship they have with that audience and with their followers, but also that it presents an opportunity for us to be relevant, because influencers are, you know, on top of trends. They know what the audience is interested in right now, and they also know what works and what doesn't work, because they, you know, they do this every day, and they interact with the target audience that we want to reach every day. And it also presents an opportunity to put our products and our brands, you know, in that context in an authentic and inspirational way. So sort of showing how you can consume the products and when to use them and so on. in a way that I think we as a brand, you know, we can't achieve that ourselves because we're not an influencer, we're a brand.
And it's a full-time job keeping up with all the trends that are happening on social media. And I mean, one day they can be like a viral recipe that you want to try and jump on. And then, I mean, influencers spend a lot of time on the platform, so they can obviously quickly just jump on the trends.
Yeah, definitely. And they know the nuances of the platforms they're working with. Like they know sort of the details of how, you know, you can do the same video in two different ways, and they know how to do it to make it work. And I think that's something that's very important for us as well, to give that freedom and to trust the influencers to that they know what they do and they know better than us what will work. So, you know, giving them a good brief on what we need to communicate and, you know, what we want to say about the products, but then letting them do it in the way that they think will give the best effect. And I think that's also the reason why we have seen such good results over the years, that we have done that and we worked with, like, in that way consistently.
Trusting the process.
Yes, and I think that's super important. And I think it can be scary for brands to do that, because you sort of, you know, you give away a little bit your brand, so to say, like to someone else to talk about it in a way that they think will work, but it actually does. So, you know, you have to trust that and you have to dare to do that, I think.
Yeah. And I know that you've even launched new brands by using influencer marketing. What has your strategy been there and what results have you seen?
We have. And I mean, usually it is together with other media as well. So like in the media mix, but we have some products where we have launched with influencers and maybe, you know, social media only with great results. And I think the first thing is like, are we targeting an audience where influencer marketing is, you know, really strong? So usually when we do that, it is that we want to reach the younger part of the audience. And we do see that it's a great addition to other media because, you know, we do need to build the reach, and we usually do that with, you know, other more traditional reach building media. But then to also have this sort of authentic and inspirational content on how to use your products, and also having, you know, influencers that the audience like and trust talk about the products and try the products and use them. Of course, that's a huge help. And like in addition to the regular advertising that we do, that's a very strong add-on that I think can sometimes really push you over, like to make the decision to actually try the product. So I think that's sort of the main reasons to get this dimension that we as a brand, we can't do that ourselves, but to add that onto the campaign and to the media mix really gives us that, you know, extra inspiration with the products.
And in obviously marketing landscape, as always, is evolving, but have you then shifted in your media mix the last couple of years, or how has the change looked for you at Alla in the last years?
I mean, of course, we have, as I said, we have many brands with different audiences, some of them with very, very broad audiences. And, you know, we need to build reach that we have. That's the type of products we have. We need to be seen by, you know, as many people as possible in the audience. And of course, that means that we need to be where the consumer is. So when consumer behavior changes, of course, we need to adapt to that. So, like, you know, we still work a lot with traditional and digital media, but of course, like the last few years, we do, you know, we have added more digital media than previously, of course, because that's where the consumers are. And we do see like having a media mix where we both have traditional media, digital media, influencer marketing, it gives a strong campaign all over.
And how have you measured and evaluated the success of influencer marketing in your campaigns?
I mean, of course, first of all, regular campaign reports. That's something we do for each campaign, and looking at how the content performs and how the campaign performed. But we have also done third-party studies, you know, looking at our influencer campaigns and to see, you know, if we're lifting in more lower funnel KPIs. And we also do, of course, include it when we do econometrics and looking at the effect it has on sales. And so we are trying like in all the ways we can. We include influencers marketing in the all of the regular following up that we do for other media as well. So we try to do it in the same way and as much as we do with other media.
And I think that's good. I think you should treat influencer marketing as any other media channel and measure it in the same way, because it's only that way you can see how the effect is compared to the other channels.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like also looking at the effect it has together with other media, because, you know, they build on each other as well.
For sure. And some might be for more building awareness, and some might be more converting, and some might be higher funnel and lower funnel.
Yeah.
So it's good to know where it fits in.
Mm.
And then, so looking forward, what innovation or trends are you seeing in influencer marketing, and what kind of excites you for the future?
I think like in general, I'm excited about it becoming more like the industry is maturing, which I think is great. And I think it's about time that, you know, influencer marketing is treated as a, you know, serious marketing form, and, you know, that we let go of old preconceptions about what influencer marketing is. I think that still, you know, you still have that a lot. But I think we're moving away from it. And I think more and more marketeers see it as a serious form of marketing, and I think in general it's viewed more as a serious form of marketing, and that excites me a lot. But I also think, you know, I'm super excited to see the impact of AI. I think that's a boring answer that everyone would give, but I think that is interesting, and I think it's going to come with positive effects, like probably help us in how we evaluate and measure influencer marketing in a, you know, better way. But I also think there's a lot of potential sort of negative effects of it, and especially when it comes to, you know, the type of content that are shared on these platforms. You know, I already see a lot of fake, like AI images of what's supposed to be like a perfect person. And, you know, there's a lot of dangers in that, I think, for especially for young people growing up seeing this. And, you know, it's not possible to achieve that sort of like those images. They are not real, so you can't achieve that. So I think it's going to be really important for brands to take, you know, responsibility in that, and what we like choosing where you put your money when you invest in influencer marketing and so on, because that's probably going to be something we see more and more, I think. And I see it as a potential problem for the industry. But I also think it's super interesting to see more and more brands go back to sort of deeper collaboration and ambassadorships like it was previously with celebrities. And I think we see sort of that coming back a little bit, but with influencers now. And of course, influencers are celebrities today. And for us, we do that, and we do like regular campaigns with more short-term collaborations. So we do a mix now, but I do think you see more and more brands going back to that sort of deeper collaboration and long-term collaboration, which I think is interesting to see as well, and see how that develops.
Yeah. And we're also excited about like when traditional brands as Ola use influencer marketing. I think it also affects other more traditional brands to see like, oh, if they're using influencer marketing, it might not be that scary. So it's good. And we're also excited about the marketing landscape evolving and influencer marketing becoming a must-have channel in your media mix.
It's more and more viewed like as a, you know, as like any other media in your media mix. You know, you look at who you want to reach and talk to, and influencers is a part of that media mix now. And I think that's also what's going to make the industry mature. And, you know, for the years I worked with influencer marketing, I see a huge difference also in, you know, working with the influencers. You know, they are learning as well, and they are evolving, and, you know, they know their value a lot better today than they did previously. And they know how to create, you know, good content that is, you know, in collaboration with brands. So they are really good, I think, at sort of keeping their authentic style and sort of voice, while still incorporating the brand and the products in a way that we as a brand would like to. So I think it's super exciting, and I think it's great to see that it's maturing and it's getting sort of the respect it should get.
We think the same.
Good.
Well, thank you so much for joining, Sarah. It was great to hear more about how Alla works with influencer marketing and learn how you kind of measure it and what you see in the future and what positive effects you see from it. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This brings us to the end of another episode of Influencer Marketing Talks. If you want to continue to stay up to date on our latest podcast episode, influencer marketing content, and what's up on the consumer marketing scene, make sure that you follow us on our platforms, Acure Media. Also, if you like our podcast and want to make sure you don't miss another episode, make sure to hit that subscribe button.